Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come again to your word, please would you continue to transform us into the likeness of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. The Scots and the Irish have the most wonderful but most confusing sayings. It wouldn't be unknown to see in Scotland people parting company at the door after a visit and saying to perhaps their closest friends with a wave and a smile, "You must come back again soon when you can't stay so long." Or perhaps in Ireland, you might hear someone say, "Look, follow me and I'll be right behind you." It's the sort of saying that just messes with your head. You sort of know what it means, but just can't get past the feeling that something is wrong with it. And in the same way, on first reading, something seems not to be quite right with these opening verses of Romans. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, says in verse 15, "I am eager to preach the gospel to you." But does that make sense? I mean, these are Christians, aren't they? Well, let's check it out. Verse 7, "To those who are in Rome, who are loved by God and called to be saints." In verse 8, he says, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." So not only are they Christians, but infamous for their faith in the Lord Jesus. And Paul seems eager to preach the gospel to them. Can that be right? And this eagerness of Paul's isn't a whim, it's not just a passing thought. In verse 9 we read, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." Verse 15, "I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." So it appears that the gospel, or hearing the gospel preached, isn't only for those people who aren't Christians. It is for all of us. No matter how long we've been trusting in the Lord Jesus, or how infamous St. John's Church might be for its faith in Jesus, the gospel is just as important to us now as the day that we first understood and in faith surrendered our lives to him. The Apostle Paul wants the church at Rome to be steeped in the gospel, partners in the gospel. Let's be clear, he wants other things for them too, like harmony between Jewish and Gentile believers. But this morning we are going to concentrate on the gospel ambitions that Paul has for the church at Rome. Like us, the gospel has clearly reached them. And like us also, only when it permeates their whole being, only then will it change how they look on themselves, their outlook to each other in the church, and change their outlook to others who are not yet Christians. So almost like a manifesto, Paul lays out his conviction, his unshakable belief in verses 16 and 17. And that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." There are two things we can take away from the passage on this Mission Sunday morning. Nothing is more powerful than the gospel preached, and we all need to keep hearing the gospel preached. Firstly then, nothing is more powerful than the gospel preached. Or another way perhaps of expressing it is that there's nothing on earth we can do that is more powerful than preaching the gospel. Notice here that Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel. I wonder why anybody would ever be ashamed of the gospel. But someone must have been for him to mention it like this. Now, of course, it's always been the case, hasn't it, that doing things or signs and wonders have always seemed to some to be more impressive than words. And the gospel is most definitely words, which again doesn't seem powerful at all. But words are what God chooses to use. We've heard it said, haven't we, that the pen is mightier than the sword? But this is so much more than that. when God speaks, things happen. In Genesis 1 verse 3, we read, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Now I could say, "Alexa, switch on the lights." And in certain homes across Tunbridge Wells right now, excuse me, the lights have possibly come on. Now that's not me creating light with words. It's just a clever trick, and I'm sorry about that if it's affected you, but it's just me switching on lights. But God speaks and there is light. And that's at a point when light wasn't even a thing. The words of the gospel are powerful. They are the most powerful thing ever, and nothing comes anywhere near. Let's try to get some perspective on this. Imagine with me, close your eyes if it's helpful, imagine with me the most spectacular firework display that you've ever seen in your life. Just close your eyes and picture the fireworks going up, the cascade after cascade of lights in the sky and the growing climax and the thunder as each pyrotechnic gets louder and louder and faster and faster. And then compare that to my little tiny party popper. How pathetic that is compared to the firework display. And that's the difference between the gospel and anything else. So why do I say that preaching the gospel is the most powerful thing ever? Well, read with me halfway through verse 16. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." When God speaks his own words, incredible things happen. When we preach God's word, the gospel, he uses it to make the most incredible things happen. Instead of facing God's wrath, those who believe are made righteous in his sight. God has ordained no other way to take people from the kingdom of dark into the kingdom of light. Nothing else can prepare people for the judgment that they will face, for the wrath of God, which we see in the rest of chapter 1 through to chapter 2 of Romans. Nothing else can take people from death to life. Nothing else leads to salvation. I can think of some very powerful things, but nothing nearly as powerful as restoring a right relationship between God and me. Nothing as powerful as granting me eternal life in the presence of that same Almighty God. If there was any doing to be done, Jesus has already done it. If there are any signs to be displayed, Jesus has already done it. Jesus died publicly on the cross for our sins, that we might be right with God. But salvation is granted to those of us who believe the words of the gospel. The big takeaway for us at St. John's is to never forget that. To never forget that in all we strive to do, that preaching the gospel is how God has ordained the most powerful transformation possible in people's lives. I say that because increasingly I am hearing certain people, and I don't mean at St. John's, saying things like sending missionaries going overseas to preach the gospel is just old hat nowadays. It's a dying trade that has no place in this modern post-colonial age. Incredibly, that's among missionary leaders too, if you can believe that. They say that missionary work in this day ought to be more about social transformation and justice rather than gospel proclamation. And to be clear, most of the things they're talking about aren't intrinsically bad things to be doing, and Christians ought to be doing them or involved in them. And of course, in some countries, one can't be open with the gospel in the way you would want to be, and one is a practical reason to be there. But even that needs to be undertaken with caution. The problem is that parts of the church are slowly losing confidence in the gospel, or as Paul would say, becoming ashamed of it, and swapping the power of the gospel with what is at very best second best, without the intentionality of proclaiming the gospel. Ventures like these could keep us busy, feel as if we're doing our bit for missions, but we shouldn't confuse it with the gospel mission of the church. So the question you may be asking yourself is, why on earth do people swap the power of the gospel for something that's not even second best. Swapping a spectacular fireworks display for my pathetic party popper. I suspect it's because people have just forgotten the simplicity of the gospel, because they've added to it or taken away from it, to the point that it is no longer the gospel that had been passed down to them. And that leads us to our second point, that we all need to keep hearing the gospel. We've heard it said that a dog is for life, not just Christmas. Or perhaps more recently, that a dog is for life, not just lockdown. But the gospel is also for life, not just our conversion. We all need to keep hearing the gospel. Continuing to preach the gospel, or more importantly, continuing to hear the gospel preached, enables us to keep a right perspective on who we are and how we go about living alongside and ministering to others. The problem is that without hearing the gospel preached regularly, we risk going off course. Like going for a hike with my old compass that I've had since doing my Duke of Edinburgh Award. I've noticed recently that it's got an air bubble in the case, which means that I'm never quite sure that it's on the right bearing. Because even if it's only 1 degree out, the difference may be barely noticeable at first. But after a day's walking, if I'm relying on it, I could be a considerable distance from where I really wanted to be. We heard from Stephen's recent series in Colossians of the temptation for Gentiles to add Jewish rituals and experiences to the gospel because they were starting to doubt that it was enough to believe in Jesus. In the video earlier, we heard from Patrick in Kenya of the challenges of Christians there being lured back to African traditional religions or to a prosperity gospel. And it's in John's in the PCC a number of months ago, we asked ourselves the question, how are we tempted to add to the gospel so that we could prevent ourselves from doing that? Is it little wonder then that Paul is keen to preach the gospel to the church at Rome so that they might keep it straight on their heads and then from their heads to their whole being? Verse 17, for in it, the gospel that is, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. In this mini manifesto, the Apostle Paul reminds us that righteousness, the very essence of God himself, the free gift of God, God reaching out to those who do not deserve it, and giving us a right status before him, comes by faith alone. Faith that we can bring nothing to the table. We come empty-handed. There's just nothing that we can do for ourselves. Faith that it is entirely through Jesus' death on the cross in our place that our sins can be dealt with. Faith that only by believing in that gospel that God clothes us with righteousness and that we can have a relationship with the Lord our Maker. And we can't hear this too much, because left to our own devices, we're tempted to make it more complicated. And the more we do that, the less it resembles the gospel. We also need to keep hearing it because it reminds us that everyone around us has been in the same situation as us. We have all started from the same place. Or putting it a different way, we all need to be reminded that we are no better than everyone around us. We are not so different than those around us. It is only the saving grace of the Lord Jesus that lifts us up from our wretched state, that redeems us and grants us the position we now have as brothers and sisters with God as our Father. Paul says that the gospel came to the Jew first and also the Greek. Now, we suspect there were tensions between these two groups of believers in Rome. It's likely the Jewish believers with their knowledge and tradition, their heritage, could have been know-it-alls, perhaps, and presenting themselves as superior to the rest. But the gospel reminds us that we all come from a position of sinfulness and deserving death. And so we need to remind ourselves constantly that we are not better than anyone else in our church, or in our town, or in our country. The gospel is a leveller. in that we only have what we have because we realize that we are unworthy, that we are all unworthy. And it's also easy to look to the rest of the world and forget our common fallenness. As I read accounts of missions from the UK in the last century and the one before that, it makes my heart sink now to read accounts that talk about taking the gospel to the heathen of Borneo or to the heathen of Africa. In the days of the empire, when the British felt superior in more than one way, and the gospel also came with what we might describe as civilizing British culture. Perhaps I'm reading too much into that old-fashioned language, and it's easy to criticize with 2020 hindsight, but it doesn't always well reflect the gospel message that we are intrinsically no better than others, nor the reformer's refrain of faith alone. For those who can recognize that, for humble people, not know-it-alls, there is still a role to preach the gospel here and around the world. There is still a need for people to cross cultures, to faithfully preach the gospel to unbelievers and the church alike, to preach to those who've never heard the gospel, to preach in churches to people like us who constantly need to be reminded, in colleges to those who will be preaching to other people in their own country, and even then to train those people who will be training in the colleges. And there is still a need for us to gladly receive faithful ministers of the gospel from around the world to here in the UK to do exactly the same for us, who will cut through our culture and preach the gospel to us. When we are blind to the planks in our own eyes, we need to serve each other across the continents, especially when we are blind to adding our culture to the simplicity of the gospel. So in this Mission Sunday, let us resolve to keep on reminding ourselves that nothing on earth is more powerful than the gospel preached, and that the gospel is for life, not just conversion. We should never tire of hearing the gospel so that we are not tempted to add or to take away from it. It reminds us of our shared need of God's grace. And let that shape our ministry here at St. John's and worldwide. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for those who first preached the gospel to us. Thank you also for those who have continued to preach it ever since. May we never be ashamed of that gospel, the gospel that brings life, nor ever be tired of having it challenge us every day of our lives. For Jesus' sake, amen.